I want to read a passage of Scripture. Brother Joe Barry's going to come and sing for us this morning. And I want to preach a message entitled, Why the Shepherds? Why the Shepherds? And I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. Let's read it once again. It's so familiar, and we don't want it to become so familiar that we miss the blessings of it every time we read it. Luke chapter number 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I want you to listen to Brother Joe Barry sing, This baby that was born was, in fact, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Walking up to Jerusalem, time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said to children, watch the Lamb. There'll be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. And I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reach the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out, Cry First one cried for mercy. People gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, "There's Jesus." And I scarce believed my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross and falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Till a Roman soldier, he grabbed my arm and screamed, "You! Carry his cross." At first I tried to resist him. Then his hand reached for his sword. So I knelt down, took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder, started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drew nails in his feet and hands. Yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. To thy hands I commit my spirit," he prayed, then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I'd lost all sense of time, till I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping, and I heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us." The lamp, he ran away. No need for that lamp anymore, folks. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much we don't understand. So I took them in my arms. We turned and faced the cross. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb.
Amen. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Baby born in Bethlehem was the Lamb of God. And I want to ask the question this morning, why the shepherds? In Luke chapter 2, I just read that passage of Scripture. And it came to announce to the shepherds that in the city of David was born a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Why the shepherds? He was a king, but they didn't announce it to the king. He was a great physician, but they didn't announce it to the medical profession. He was one whom the government set upon his shoulders, but he didn't announce it to the great politicians of the day. He was the great high priest, but he didn't announce it in the temple to all the religious crowd of that day. Why is that? He's a great healer, but even at that, he didn't go out and broadcast it in the ghettos where all the sick people were at. Why the shepherds? Why on that particular night when the Son of God, who was clothed in human flesh, was born, did a sovereign God choose to announce it to the shepherds? Why them? Why in that city of David, in Bethlehem? That word Bethlehem means city of bread or place of bread. The living bread, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven, was born in the city of bread. What a blessing. All of it just lays out perfectly when you begin to look at it and see that Jesus Christ was the King of kings and Lord of lords, but he was the bread of life. But why the shepherds? Why did they choose of all the people, of all the face of the earth, did he choose to have the angels go and first announce the birth of Jesus to these lowly shepherds? You see, shepherds were not men of renown. We think about them in some kind of a beautiful picturesque scene of the shepherd and the sheep. And Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the great shepherd. But in that economy, the shepherd's job was a lowly job. And they were not well respected in their community. And matter of fact, one Bible historian says that the only class of people lower than the shepherds were the lepers. And why the shepherds? Why did he approach those shepherds and give that word? Look at this passage of Scripture. Let's just pick out a few things about it that I want to say to you. In the first place, I mentioned about the city of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, if you go look at a map of Jerusalem, if you go southwest, just about 5 miles. Now, you'd be traveling east if you went to Benson. But it's about the same distance. Get this in your mind. Here's Jerusalem, and here's Bethlehem, just about 5 miles. It's southwest of Jerusalem. It's on a route between Jerusalem and Egypt. And along that route, there were places for people to rest. It's kind of like I-95. Wherever the river flowed, that's where the cities built up, because that's where the traffic was at. People traveled by water. Now it's the interstates. That's when the interstate runs, that's where people begin to build up and have businesses and all like that. And same way in that economy, this was a commercial route through there. And as they traveled from Jerusalem and going over towards Egypt, and all the trade went back and forth along that, was built inns where people would stay. In this particular city, there was an inn, and there was a place for them to stay. Now, some people say that that when we see the manger scene, and the Bible says that when they came and saw the baby, they laid him in that little manger, that really he was not in a building as such, not a physical structure built, but probably out beside that inn, there was a little cave. And he was put in that cave. As I was reading and studying, thinking about that this week, I thought about that. My brother-in-law was born in Triplett, Virginia, under a big maple tree in an old log cabin that was there. And I remember when I was a little boy, I used to go to stay there. And he was born in that cabin. He died in a house that's built on the same site. He was born and he died right at the same place. And I thought about Jesus, and I thought about the fact that he was born in a cave, and then he was placed in that grave outside Jerusalem. But thank God he's alive forevermore. And well, he just kept right on going. I thank the Lord for that. But here in this passage of Scripture is Bethlehem. And the shepherds were there. And they were this birth announcement came to them. Notice in this passage of Scripture, first of all, I want you to notice their astonishment. It says that they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were so afraid. They were astonished. Here's a fearful thing that happened to them. I mean, it's just all of a sudden these angels and the brightness of the glory of God. I mean, out of that starlit night, but that the glory of God outshone those stars, the moon of that night. And they were afraid. What are you afraid of today? What kind of fear do you have in your heart? Many of you this Christmas season, and it's a joyous time. I believe there's more lights decorated this year than I've seen in a long time. And they say the Christmas shopping was a higher rate than ever. I don't know. But here, there are so many people, even in this time, that have fears. They fear about their future. They're afraid of what their health's going to be. Afraid about the economy. Afraid about the loss of their positions or whatever. And there's a certain amount of fear. Some of you don't know what you're going to do from one day to the next financially or any other way. But what can help that fear? The angels speak to them and listen to what they say to them. And the angels say to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." There's a message that can cause you not to be fearful. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean you're not going to have heartache. But there's a message that can relieve those fears. These angels that were there came to make this announcement, and they made it to these shepherds. And he said, "Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy." What is that announcement? What is that announcement that they bring? Look at it, verse 7. And he said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Notice how the Holy Ghost of God phrased this and the angels spoke it. "For unto you is born this day." Now, Christmas is a wonderful time, but it has to become for you a personal time. You. Jesus Christ died for you. He knows your name, knows all about you. He knows every fear you've got. He knows every need you've got. He knows you by name. He knows everything there is to know about you. Everything. He knows the beginning and the end. And he loved you. You say, "Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how wicked I've been. You don't know all that I've been through." But Jesus does. Jesus knows all about you. Matter of fact, he knew all about your sin when he died. The Bible said he bore all our sins in his own body on the tree and he died. But this message to them was a personal message. And please don't let the message of Christmas get to be generic. Please don't let it get to be something that is everybody else. Don't think about it in general terms. Think about it in special terms. This good news is for you. Why? Because he came to die for you. Now, you think about that. He knows your name. You're not a name. You're not a face in a crowd. He knows you. He knows all about you. And he wants to meet that need in your life. This was a personal message to them. Not only was it a personal message to them, but it is a powerful message to them. He said, "Born unto you this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Notice there, here the identifications of our Lord. In the city of David, there's a Savior born. The Savior is born. Jesus Christ is a Savior. The word Jesus means Savior. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sin." And here's the powerful message that takes away fear, is that it's for you that a Savior has been born. Somebody to forgive all of your sins, somebody to deliver you, somebody to save you from loneliness, somebody to save you from heartache, somebody to save you from discouragement, but most of all, somebody to save you from your sin and give you everlasting life. What a powerful message that Savior's come for you. Here they are. They walk into the city, and around the city there are several gates, and there's one called the Sheep Gate. And that's where the shepherds came to. And they'd come to bring those sheep. At the time, people would buy them, of course, for food. They'd buy them for other reasons. But one of the reasons they bought them was for sacrifice. But when those shepherds came in, that's the gate they came in and out of. It was called the Sheep Gate. And there again, they were not people who were highly respected. They were not people who had great accolades. And yet this Savior's coming for them. The Savior's coming to save them. They've heard the story over and over again. In the city of David, you know who David was? David was the great king of Israel. David watched after sheep in this very same area. If you go back and look in 1 Samuel and in 2 Samuel, when you study about the life of David, you'll find out that David was tending sheep there when his father called him to go and take the food and provisions to his brothers who was fighting the Philistines. And that's where the great giant Goliath came into the picture. But David was a shepherd there. And David, and they said, in the city of David, the angels came and said, fear not, there's a Savior born to you. You're a shepherd. David was a shepherd. And the city is named after him. Why, you think about that. Here are lowly shepherds who maybe are going around with no self-esteem and nothing in their mind, no self-respect and no hope, and just had loneliness and fear perhaps. And yet they were reminded that it's David who was the shepherd boy just like you are, and that he turned out to be a king. Can I tell you, I don't care who you are. The Bible said Jesus Christ died and he gave us everlasting life and to make us kings and priests in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a message to you. God's got a place for you. He said God raised him up, and also he raised us up together and caused us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You may have been born in the lowest estate. You may have been born in poverty, but thank God, by the grace of God, he lifts you up. And he'll make you a king and a priest. And boy, listen, what a message to take away the fear of the future. David was a king, and it's in this city of David, the shepherd boy who became a king, that the Savior's come. Somebody for you too. Can I tell you there's hope for you? I don't know what you're facing, what you've been through, what you're going through, but Jesus Christ is that Savior. Notice a little further. He said not only is he the Savior, but he is the Christ. He's the promised one. Oh, they'd heard about that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's the seed of that woman's crushing the head of Satan. He is the Messiah. He's the great king that's coming. He's the deliverer of Israel that's coming. And they were anticipating that and looking forward to that, that he's going to be the Messiah. He'll be the great king. And he's going to be born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah's coming. What they've anticipated most and what they desired most and what they had hoped for a deliverer was going to be born in Bethlehem. And the good news is to them that not only is he the Savior to forgive your sin, but he's the Christ. He's the anointed of God. He is the Messiah. He'll be the ruler of Israel. Thank God. I'm glad we've got somebody who's in control. And then he said this, he is Lord. Jesus Christ, Savior, Christ the Lord. He is Lord. Here in Bethlehem is born the sovereign of this universe. He's the one who's going to be who raised all those people who were sick. But Jesus is the one who created everything. He's the one who's able to do anything. And he is Lord, Jehovah God incarnate in human flesh. Jesus is Lord. And he's coming to Bethlehem. And the announcement is to you that he is Lord. He's got everything in hand. He's sovereign. My dear friend, listen, I don't know what the future holds, but thank God I know who holds the future. And you know what I need? I need to be closer to him, like Brother Ricky said a while ago. Nearer, my God, the closer you get to him, the more confidence you have, the more peace you have, the joy you have. Bible said if you cast all your cares on him, you cast all your cares on him, he cares for you. But he said in Philippians, be not anxious for anything, make your prayers or your quest and your supplications known to God, and the peace of God will keep your mind and heart. You get close to him. He's Savior. He's Christ. He's Lord. He can take care of everything. Here's the good news. He loved you. It's a personal message, and it's a powerful message that they hear. It's here for them. It's something that they are to hear. But notice a little further. He said this, it is a prolific message, for this shall be sign of you. And he said this, not only is he your Savior, not only is he your King, but when the angels make the announcement, it says this, glory to God in highest and on peace, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, all men. Here's the message. This Savior is for all men. The message of peace is not just for the shepherd, but it's for all men. Why the shepherds? Why did he choose these people? Why did he give them this announcement? Maybe because of their low estate. Maybe because of their careers. They were shepherds. And Jesus identified with them. And the Bible said that all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. But all of our sin was laid on him. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. As a good shepherd goes out and seeks those sheep and seeks them until he finds them. Here they are. They recognize the fact that this shepherd, the Jesus, the Savior that was coming, was like them. That he loved the sheep. And they were part of his sheep. And they knew their provision. They knew that they were willing to die for their sheep. And they realized that he was willing to die for them. Maybe their career, because they were shepherds. That's why he chose to announce to them. He identified with them as a shepherd. The Bible says that he's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And he is a shepherd of our soul. He's the shepherd who provides for us. He finds us and he gives us everlasting life. He ministers to the sheep. He feeds the sheep and takes care of the sheep. Most of the shepherds were nomadic people. They traveled all across everywhere trying to find provision for their sheep. But these particular shepherds were not that way, not around Bethlehem. They were more in a permanent location. They were in that close proximity to Jerusalem, to where sacrifice took place. And they had an area there in Bethlehem that they just lived and worked right there around Bethlehem. They didn't travel. They were in one place for one particular purpose. What was it? Why the shepherds? Why is it then? Why is it like that? He said this, they were there for one particular purpose. Why was it? Why the shepherds? I want you to notice their reaction to this message, how they responded, their acknowledgement. And it says when they were told that you'll find this be a sign, you'll find the babe wrapped, swaddled, clothed, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing. Having heard this message, they respond now. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said today is the day of salvation. I wish I could tell you on authority of God's word that you could be saved tomorrow, but you can only be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. There's no promise that anybody in the sound of my voice here in the building or in the radio audience or in the internet audience can be saved tomorrow. There's not one promise in this Bible that says you can get saved tomorrow, but you can be saved today. Today is the salvation. And you know what you ought to do as soon as you understand the gospel, as soon as you know that you're lost and need a Savior, you ought to respond now. I like that about them. Having heard that truth, you know what? They could have doubted it. They could have discussed it. They could have debated it. They could have dissected it. But they didn't do any of those things. They simply believed it and said, let's go now. Let's go now. And you see, you may not understand it all. And I don't believe they understood all what was going on. But they responded to the light they had. They were responding to the truth that had been told them that there was a Savior born. And you say, Brother Billy, I don't understand all the Bible. I can't understand all those. And how about this? And how about that? And how about that? Don't worry about any of that. Here's the thing you need to know. There's a Savior born. And you need to respond to that truth now. Trust him now. Accept him now. Believe on him now. And they respond to that message immediately, the Bible said. And as they respond to that and they go to where he's at, it's a life-changing experience for them. The Bible said that when they come into Bethlehem and they come to where he's at and they find him. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying concerning this child. When they saw the babe, they saw Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, it changed their life. And it says in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things they've seen. It changed their life. It was a life-changing experience when they came and saw the Savior. Can I say to you what will change your life at Christmas time? And I love all the lights. I love all the singing. I love everything that goes around the Christmas season. But what makes the difference is when you see him. And when you know him, and they responded in faith and they came in faith to receive him. Have you ever received him? Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Have you ever by faith responded and you had an urgency about it where you said, I've got to do it now. Now, right now. I need to do it now. I need to trust Christ right now. I need to trust him now. But why the shepherds? Why these shepherds? There are a lot of other shepherds. There are shepherds of nomadic tribes and there are people scattered all around. But he came to one particular group of shepherds. Why is that? Well, I heard a friend share with me some time ago some truth, and I've made some phone calls, and then I've been doing some research myself. These particular shepherds right around Bethlehem, the city of David, they groomed their sheep, not for meat nor for wool primarily, but for sacrifice. This group of shepherds around Bethlehem, the city of David, were there raising sheep for Levitical slaughter and sacrifice. They had sheep there who were appointed to death. They had sheep there who, regardless of their attachment to them, how much they began to love the little lambs, they knew their fate. They knew that they would die. And they were there watching over those sheep. At a certain particular time of the year, around the month of April, they began to watch very carefully, because at the time of Passover in the Jewish economy, they had to have these beautiful little spotless lambs to make available people for Passover, for the sacrifice. And that night, the Lord God of heaven said to those who were raising lambs for slaughter or sacrifice, "The Lamb of God that you've been looking for, that perfect lamb without spot or blemish, the Passover lamb, the lamb that's used to redeem Israel, has already been born. He's born in Jerusalem." And the shepherds whose life it was to raise sheep and lambs for sacrifice were told that night, "The sacrifice has been born. His name is Jesus, and you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." They responded to that message. They went. The shepherds who raised those lambs went and saw the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Notice their reaction to that when they did that. The Bible said that they left. And it says, as they left in verse 18, verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." This child. This child, this Lamb of God. He said in the book of Isaiah, "A child is given, a son is born." This child who came to suffer and bleed and die. They made known that saying. They didn't talk about the angels. They didn't talk about the shining light, the glory of God. They left there talking about the child. They left talking about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then later in his life, as John the Baptist stood there by the River Jordan, he saw him and he pointed and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Here's the Lamb, and here's the shepherds. And God says to these shepherds, "The perfect sacrifice has already come." They go and make known to every person they meet this wonderful message that Jesus Christ has come and that He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He's died to save you. He's died to save me. He is your shepherd. Would you bow your heads in prayer? As you bow your heads this morning, it's hard for me to imagine, as I read these Christmas accounts and narratives, sometimes try to put myself in that position. The other night, Regina and I were coming back home, and the moon was so beautiful. The stars were shining bright. After I got home, I walked back out in the yard. And I wonder if this is what it was like that night. I wonder if it's like this that night, that the glory of the Lord shone round about, and the angels said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Was born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Is that a personal message to you? Is it a powerful message to you? Has it changed your life? The shepherds. These particular shepherds were the ones who groomed the lambs for sacrifice. But the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world had come. Brother Joe Barry said a while ago, the song that he sang so beautifully once again, "This lamb that ran away, no need for that lamb now." And when Christ was crucified, buried, the veil of that temple was rent, Israel never again has practiced animal sacrifice. God the Holy Ghost had sent, birthed the Holy Spirit, the Holy Child Jesus, that Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And all that goes on around Christmas, I'm going to ask you a simple question. It will determine your destiny. Is He your Savior? Is He your Christ? Is He your Lord? It is a message to you. I'd encourage you, if you've not done that, do it now, as these disciples did. The Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The bride of the Spirit say, "Come." Jesus said, "No man comes to me but by the but to the Father but by me." You can't get to God, you can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. You need Jesus. You need Him. While we're here in this moment, we're thinking about this Christmas season. Could you put yourself on a hillside outside the city of Bethlehem? Could you hear the angels with a message? There's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what your fears are. But here's the good news. There's a Savior. There's somebody who can meet every need you've got. He'll forgive you of all your sin. He'll go with you through every sickness, through every sorrow. He'll never, ever leave you nor forsake you. And I pray it'll be real to you. You and I ought to go our way praising God, give Him glory, and telling everybody we meet about the things that we have experienced, and tell them about this child, the Savior, who was born. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask you a question. Have you responded personally to the message of Christmas and the Savior being born? You say, "Brother Billy, I know that I've received Him as Savior. I know heaven's my home." Would you raise your hand as a testimony, as a praise this morning? God bless you. Thank you so much. I wonder this morning, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, I wonder here, if you're here this morning, you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the simple message of the shepherds that the Lamb of God had come. The announcement that the Lamb you've been looking for, that perfect Lamb for sacrifice, is in Bethlehem. Have you seen Him? And I want to tell you, the answer to all your needs, your questions, your burdens is wrapped up in that babe in Bethlehem, the sinless Son of God. It's good news. You say, "Brother Billy, I've never trusted Him as Savior, but I sure love to know Him. I want you to pray for me, preacher, that I trust Him before it's too late."